TalkLine Network Radio, America's longest-running Jewish broadcast network, the voice of the Jewish community.
Good evening and welcome back to Mask's weekly radio show on Family Matters. Mask, mothers and fathers aligned, saving kids, kids of all ages and all stages for all mental health issues, including in school issues, addictions. If you know someone that needs a referral for a therapist, a yeshiva liaison, maybe it's for an inpatient or outpatient program, feel free to give us a call at 718-758. And our organization offers parent support. So if you want to go to a support group via Zoom today, it's so easy. Give us a call. Again, I'll tell you our number. It's anonymous. You can call, not say who you are. It's confidential. Give us a call. Maybe you want to write down the number for yourself, a loved one, a neighbor, someone you usually sit next to in shul. Our number again, 718-758-0400. Tonight, I have with us a colleague that is very well known, actually. He is an author, and he's been a therapist in LCSW for 15 years or more, actually, in New Jersey. But he is coming out with a new book that is really going to be a big hit for many, many families that are struggling with children with disruptive moods. So I'd like to welcome on tonight Matsyahu Miller. Good evening. How are you?
Good evening, Rahama. Thank you so much for having me. And I'm so glad I have this opportunity to be here on the show with you tonight and to inform people a little bit about myself and the book. It's upcoming. It will be released in April. And I'm really happy about this opportunity. So thank you.
You're welcome. And we're all excited about the book. Actually, the name of the book is The Uncontrollable Child. Understand and manage your child's disruptive moods with dialectical behavior therapy skills. We spoke last week about DBT in depth. And now this book, it comes at a great time. We're understanding DBT and how powerful those skills can be helpful in including, you know, the validation, the limit setting, the behavior shaping. So yes, this is a great time to listen to this show. And Matis Miller is the one that has been really hands-on with families, with parents and children, with consulting with parents on different bumpy roads that they may be going through with their children. So let's get right to it, Matis. Is it okay if I call you Matis?
Please, please do.
Good. That's not why I know you. So that's how, as a colleague, we address each other. So what? Let's tell everyone why you decided to write the book.
Yeah, so through my years of practice, I found that, you know, I've worked with children, adolescents, adults, and I've done a lot of parent consultation and guidance. And in terms of, there's a ton of information out there and a lot of really great, useful information. There's books, there's websites, there's podcasts. But what I found is that a lot of the focus very often is either on love, connection, attachment, understanding child development. And then there are other sources and resources that are focused more on behavior change and discipline and limit setting and consequences and so on and so forth. And I really found that, you know, through the eyes of DBT and that perspective, the idea of taking both these concepts and putting it in a book in a way that to synthesize them both, which essentially is the idea of how can we accept and connect to our child at the same time working on change. And that one is not a contradiction to the other, which is the whole concept of dialectics. And you mentioned, I'm so glad your audience had an opportunity to learn a little bit about DBT, but it's the idea that two things can be opposite or seem opposite. And at the same time, they can both be true and be worked to together, hand in hand. And I think in parenting also, you know, there's no right way to parent, as we know. And parenting is difficult. It's a wonderful gift, but and you know, our children end up interacting with us or changing in ways that we don't necessarily expect or we don't know how to deal with. And I think just about this book, but it's about incorporating a lot of these concepts along with these strategies and integrating everything you know in a way that you could constantly be balancing extremes and moving towards a middle path with your child.
So Matis, what's going to make this book unique? There are so many books out there. Why would a parent find this book very unique?
Yeah, and I think just, you know, from what I just said, taking to the next step, it's unique because it focuses so much on not only the child, but the parent, on accepting and being compassionate to oneself and letting go of judgment of oneself and their child and accepting the circumstances while balancing that with change. And the book is really the strategies, not just the dialectical behavioral therapy strategies. It's filled with evidence-based techniques and strategies throughout the book and in a very practical step-by-step format with loads of relatable case examples. Even the feedback I got from now is like the parents feel like, are you in my house? You know, mm-hmm. Are you in my kitchen? And so many of the struggles. And I think what's is the fact that it's not just theory. It's really, really practical, but it's also really helping the parents feel understood while giving them strategies. And really, while, like you said, Ruhama, welcoming all that information into a different way of thinking, and in a more dialectical, open way about yourself and your child, which improves the parent-child interaction over time.
Well, you know, Matis, when it comes to teenagers and they start acting out or going off the derech on their own journey, or they dabble with drugs or alcohol, or they're vaping suddenly, so parents naturally get all bent out of shape because they don't want their child going down those roads. They want to save them. They're angry and frustrated and upset and hurt. And I could name 20 more descriptions of what parents feel when that happens. So this book is really also earlier on. Read it early. Don't wait until your kids are teenagers. Mm-hmm. Let's let the elementary age parents get their hands on the book so that they learn early on to help prevent if their child is an uncontrollable kind of personality or kid. Who in your book is the uncontrollable child? You named it the uncontrollable child. Why did you name it that?
Yeah, I want to respond to that. And I also want to get back to the first thing you said about the teenagers. But I'll first respond to the uncontrollable child. Anyone who's worked with children can relate to the terminology, the uncontrollable child. You know, the child that's out of control, that can't handle when something doesn't go right. No matter what you do, they seem like you're trying to use every strategy and skill, but they're not following through. They're not cooperating. They're being not compliant. And even worse, sometimes being very aggressive. The uncontrollable child, as I see, I mean, there's no singular definition and clear description, but I see it as the emotionally sensitive child. And too often the child who just might, on the drop of the hat, cry, or you say the wrong thing and they have an explosive outburst, tantruming and aggressive. It could even be that teen on edge, property destruction, yelling, screaming, swearing, where the parent is feeling, I have no control. And I don't even know what to do over here. So I really, when we think about emotion, it's that really emotionally sensitive, mood disruptive, dysregulated child. But I think every child has their times and their periods, some more significant. And obviously those who are picking up this book are struggling more. And Ruhama, just to, you know, go back on what you said earlier about the family, and where your child goes on a path off the derech, not what you expected. And you have all these questions and feelings of, that, you know, how can this happen? Was I a bad parent? What did I do wrong? You know, why is he acting like this? Why am I going through this? I think step one is self-validation. This is really hard. And I think sometimes we get so stuck in judgment about ourselves, and we learn strategies how to let go of judgment, which gets in the way of us to be able to even take a step back and even focus on what would be effective for the child. And number two is then moving to accept. And I go through in the book, you know, step-by-step strategies. It's wonderful to say you accept, but acceptance is a process, and acceptance is not easy. And we can't, you know, it takes time. And sometimes we're accepting and we turn back to non-acceptance, and really strategies to accept where our child is. The key is, though, even though we're self-validating, letting go of judgment, accepting the reality of the path our child has taken, that doesn't mean we give up on change. And that's really, you know, what I've talked about before is, yes, now we might have to see where the child is and who they are and what their needs are. And perhaps all the skills and strategies to date were not effective, keyword effective. And I talk a lot about being mindful and observe and being effective for the child. But what can I do now? Once I accept the reality of who my child is, then at this point, I can, you know, figure out which strategies would be more effective in the current relationship.
So it's interesting you say that, because that mask, we say if you change the music in your home, your kid's dance step could change. So that's that concept that we recommend parents to attend the parent support group, to come on to Zoom to Dr. Rackman, to Dr. Tricia Tia, to Dr. Bencian Tworsky, or whatever groups that are available. If you have anxiety, we have anxiety groups. Whatever may be available, depending on your family's issues, it's advisable not to start with your child. Go first to a parent meeting, like by mask, Zoom, and learn about what's going on and where we could change in order to then be able to be effective with our child to help them become the not uncontrollable child, but the controllable child.
Yes.
So exactly. You need to be a lifeline. A parent needs to be the lifeline to that. So,
And I just want to say, yeah, absolutely. And on that note, one of the dialectical concepts that we talk about is that change is transactional. And if we change, we actually directly affect our environment. And think about it. If you're critical towards someone, they often will be critical towards you. Go into a room and speak to someone and whisper. You'll notice that their voice will drop immediately. So, and we also find that in research, and it doesn't mean you're a bad parent or it's your fault, but we find that parent training or parent support is more effective, as Rahama said, than actually working with the child themselves. So when we change, we affect others in our environment. And if we learn to pay attention to that music, and change that music and look at causes, rather than blame and judgment and guilt, letting go of that and looking at causes and seeing how we can accept the reality while balancing that with change, that change is a transactional process.
So do you want to bring up, just for those that may not have heard the last show on DBT, briefly, can you bring up how you incorporate the DBT in your book, please?
So a lot of what I've been speaking about, just a little bit of history on DBT, very briefly. Marshall Linehan, who developed DBT initially, were for individuals struggling with severe emotion dysregulation, specifically borderline personality disorder. But today it's actually used across the board, and it's actually used in schools and medical facilities and, you know, for not people who are struggling to that level of intense or extreme emotion. And I think what she found is exactly that. She was a real behavioral psychologist, and she was just working on change. And what she would sit down with people and she'd start to work on change, and they'd say, you know, you don't get it. You don't know what I'm going through. And then she saw, you know, after session, it wasn't being effective. So she moved to be more validating and accepting and understanding. And when she did that, she said, wow, you must be going through such difficulty. Explain to me. And their response was, well, you don't think I could change? There's no hope. and she became really confused. And that's where she integrated the dialectical concepts in DBT. But more than that, you know, was bringing in the idea of mindfulness. So DBT integrates dialectics and mindfulness, which I'm sure many of you are familiar. It's a buzzword today, but really opening our eyes without judgment and becoming more aware, observing, taking a step back with curiosity, with openness, and being able to understand and get some distance from our own experiences and being more aware of what's going on in the environment. And mindful parenting could be really powerful. And I talk a lot about that in the book. And again, the mindfulness and the validation and the acceptance all balanced with how do you shape behavior, use positive and negative reinforcement, using limit setting, balancing the extremes of being consistent and also being flexible. And I think a lot of parents struggle with that. And I think they tend to go into extremes. They take this path and then this path and this the path instead of learning how to find the balance and what works for that child.
I'm glad you brought up the stressful word, because many parents, when they call on the helpline the first time and they say, oh, I need a therapist for my child, and we suggest, let's start with you and your husband and get onto group, and then, you know, we'll go to the next step. They're always, not they always, but many have said, I'm too stressed. I'm constantly overwhelmed. And no, why can't we just focus on the child? So I really want you to talk to my listeners and explain to them that importance of starting first with them.
Yeah. So first of all, it is stressful and it is overwhelming. It is really, really difficult. And, you know, it's very often not, it's not, you don't have one child, you have many children, you have many responsibilities. And in our day and age, many moms and dads are both working and there are other struggles and other difficulties in the house. But what I find that I try to help parents understand is, firstly, is the amount of energy and time that you're dealing with the negative behaviors and emotions, your own emotions and the child and their interaction, you're already putting in significant time. And we want to try to switch them so that you're putting in the same energy while improving the relationship instead of it cycling further into negative behavioral patterns. That's number one. You know, number two is as adults, for the most part, we're more motivated, more willing, more open to change. You know, children, as they develop and they're not completely developed cognitively, emotionally, in many different ways, it's hard. They're stuck and they're developing and they're having their physical changes and hormonal changes. And it's very often the key word is it's more effective to reach your goal. So yeah, you could send your child to therapy, and that is important, you know, and it's a process. But to move towards change, you know, our children aren't in our home forever, you know, and they do grow up into the adults, is that it's far more effective, which is a key word. If you want to get your goal, you know, focusing first on yourself and how you're contributing to that cycle. Of course, the child could change their behavior, and that would help. But in all likelihood, they're not going to change their behavior too soon. And you could be far more effective in stopping that cycle.
So when they do come onto group, they learn how to love the difficult child, that uncontrollable child.
Yes.
Which is so important. But we also, I want to let everyone know, we do have a WhatsApp group for moms. And I know that on the WhatsApp group, while one mom sees another one writing about what she's struggling with, they start to realize that they need to have rachmanis on that kid with dyslexia when she was younger and low self-esteem and then failed in school and was put in the wrong program and then turned into, you know, then she got older and, you know, she dabbled in with drugs or whatever, and it all got molested when they were younger, and they didn't know when they were younger. And they read, they hear from other parents how they're dealing with it, and the rahmanis and the empathy that they have, and they learn how to look at things a little different and be a little more patient. and they learn from each other. And that's the power of group as well. So I do recommend that parents listening that are struggling with whatever age child you may be struggling with is to call MASC 718-758-0400 and to register to get the new book, The Uncontrollable Child by Matsyahu Miller. Montes, would you like to give out the information how someone can reserve the book? It's not even out yet.
Yes. I want to share that. And I just also want to reiterate the importance of the group, and that what MASC does is incredible. And that's what DBT actually, primarily people learn skills in group settings because of that. They feel more supported and understood and validated. As far as getting in touch for the book, you can go to my website. It's theuncontrollablechild.com. That's theuncontrollablechild.com. From the website, read the screen. You could pre-order the book at your favorite seller. There are links there to Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, wherever you might usually get your book, Google Reads. From there, you can actually go back to the website and you put in your pre-order the book, put in your invoice number. And we have some special bonuses that we're offering for those who pre-order the book. And we also started, last Tuesday was the first, and I'll be continuing until release date. I have a virtual book tour, Tuesdays with Matis. That's every Tuesday from 1:30 to 2. And you can go to the website by events. That you can. There's an alert button there, and we will alert you every Tuesday morning with a link where I do some readings, some vignettes, I take some questions, and it's a wonderful opportunity for me to share more about the book. And give you some real practical, implementable, you know, skills that you can take immediately utilize with your children.
So let me just ask you, I know one question that comes up very often in the group, and parents learn how about consequences. So a lot of parents say, you know, I've been told to love my child unconditionally, which MASC recommends, and that providing consequences for their behaviors, you know, that they may be giving, you know, they're taking away their phone or they're cutting off their allowance, may just make things worse. I want you to talk about the issue of the right consequences at the right time with the right attitude, because that all parents really need to learn it different when you do have an uncontrollable kind of child.
Absolutely, and it's a wonderful question. And I hear this in my practice as well. Very often people are given this advice, again, on the other extreme, just go ahead and love your child unconditionally. Now, unconditional love, as MASC and myself, we all agree, to love your child unconditionally, but that doesn't mean that you let them do whatever they want unconditionally. And that's a big difference. And there's loads of research on permissive parenting that shows that children who don't have limits and there aren't consequences, they don't learn self-regulation. They don't learn self-discipline. Now, again, of course, that has to be balanced with a tremendous amount of positive, as I talk about in the book, a ratio borrowed from John Gottman's work, minimally of 5 positive interactions to 1 negative interaction. And of course, we want to use a lot of positive reinforcement and praise and verbal praise and using rewards in a healthy way. At the same time, it's really, really important to implement limits. As Rucham has said, limit setting is not so easy. And it's really figuring out to identify what are appropriate limits for this child. And then when I set a limit, what are the steps to implement that limit, to maintain that limit, and to be flexible in that limit? Because times we need to be flexible. We're not going to put the same limit in for a 5-year-old that we're going to put in for a 10-year-old. So change, as I said, one of our dialectical concepts is constant. And then the key word, again, is effectiveness. Once I put in a limit, see how the child's responding. Be consistent. And actually, in every chapter at the end, I have a section called roadblocks, which are different thoughts and emotions that get in the way. I'm being too tough on my child. I feel like I'm being punitive. You know, and responding to those beliefs is that children need limits and they're important. How are you implementing the limit? You know, are you implementing it in a punitive way with anger, with frustration? Are your emotions too high? And that's where the mindfulness comes in. Be aware, where's your emotions right now? From 0 to 100, if it's too high, it's not a time to implement a limit or a consequence. And also that can be done. Consequences can be implemented. Limits can be implemented with unconditional love. Giving the child the message that I love you. And that, yes, the child's in the moment, you're right, they're screaming, no, you don't. You hate me. You never do anything for me. But if a parent is consistent and there's a lot of positive and they're showing their love, at the end of the day, the child will get that message very, very clear. But if we just are scared of limits and are scared of consequences, again, sometimes it's not effective. Maybe we have a teenager that got to a point that, you know, they're not going to listen to what we say, so we're not going to continue to put limits in. However, in our home environment, we might have a limit. We might decide that there's certain things that are not allowed in our home. Everyone has limits. You know, people say, well, no, there's no such thing. Every single parent, I say to parent, you know, well, no, I can't. I don't have a limit. I said, so if your child comes in and takes out some heroin and starts to put it in, you know, shoot themselves up with heroin in front of your whole family on top of the Shabbos table, or takes an axe and starts running after people, right? There's going to be a limit in place. We all have limits, and trying to find in which each situation step by step, identifying what's an appropriate limit per age, per context, where the child is at. And then again, what are various steps, how to implement it and be consistent, and how to respond when the child does get pushback, and how to maintain that limit. These are all very, very important skills.
Right. So we are running out of time. I just want to say, Matt, that there's no one book and one way for the whole world. Everybody has to pick what works for them and their family. I do recommend The Uncontrollable Child will be a fantastic tool for many families. And I do recommend that you don't start setting tight limits with teenagers. Read this book beforehand. Read them when they're younger so that you can have boundaries and rule setting and limit setting when they're younger, so you'll have less of an issue as they're growing older, God willing. So thank you so much, Matis. It's been wonderful. And time flies when you're having fun. What should I say? I could go on and on with you about it. I think it'll be a wonderful tool for many, many parents out there. Yash koach to you. And I'd like to thank you for all that you do. Matis is a LCSW in New Jersey. Anyone that wants to reach out to him, you can contact the Mask office and I'll be happy to have him call you. So our number again is 718-758-0400. Thank you, Matis, for being on tonight.
Yes, and I want to thank you. You know, Mask is a household name, and it's a name that, and yourself, certainly, and a name that I'm familiar, you know, through growing up in my career, and it's incredible the work you do. And I think a lot of the work you do definitely fits right in with a lot of what I'm trying to give over in parenting. And I think you, even if you have a teen, I just want to add, you could still read this book because you might have to be moving more to the acceptance as a teen and less on the limit setting and finding balance. So it's really going to, this is not the manual. Everything you've learned can be integrated, and it just changes the way you think about yourself and your child and your relationship, which can help you build a healthy relationship. So thank you again for the opportunity, and I wish everyone tremendous, you know, bracha and hatzlacha, and most siyata d'shmaya, because that's what we really need.
Absolutely. And I just want to say, please go on to massparents.org, make a donation so we can continue getting these wonderful authors on our show and talking about these important topics. And I want to wish everybody a very good evening, a beautiful Shabbos. And always remember, hang in, hold on virtually now, hug tight. Tonight's show is in memory of Simcha Shmuel Ben Moshe. Thank you and have a good night.
Talkline Network Radio, America's longest-running Jewish broadcast network, the voice of the Jewish community.
With COVID-19 vaccines here, New York City is coming back strong. Safe and effective vaccines are coming to all New Yorkers soon. Get vaccinated when it becomes available to you. Learn more at nyc.gov/COVID vaccine.